Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Standing Between the Living and the Dead service, part two, a memorial prayer devotional evangelistic service for everybody, designed to help everybody, in keeping with our emphasis on the importance of prayer in your personal life and in your family, and reading God's word and having devotions personally and with your family. And as we have invited you, those of you who are single, you're welcome to join us and to pray with us and to read the Bible with us live and on demand. I know that many of you out there trying to still find jobs out in this plague pandemic. Some of you have to get out there, and you missed the morning service. In the back, you need to move to the back, right here. Move to the back. And however, you can pick us up on demand. And for the first time ever, you can pick up the first service, which is our scripture reading service, on demand as well today after these services are over. In keeping with our emphasis on prayer and family devotions, personal devotions, John Owen said, when we have communion with God in the doctrine we contend for, then shall we be garrisoned by the grace of God against all the assaults of men, be they in the family or not. And that is so true. Let's pray for the family. Let's pray for single people who are truly living as single. And let's pray for the salvation of the lost. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for all marriages that name the name of Christ, all families that name the name of Christ who claim to be Christian. We pray for all singles who name the name of Christ. We pray, Lord, that you'll help all of us to truly humble ourselves and to pray and to seek your face and to turn from our wicked ways and to repent and get back to you, our first love. Thank you for your grace, your mercy, and your love. Thank you for blessing us down through the years in so many ways. But we also thank you for your chastisement. Thank you for loving us so much that you would chastise us, that you would punish us, that you would take away some of the blessings that we have enjoyed because we have taken you for granted. We have disrespected you. We have disobeyed you. And so today we are limited. We can't do all that we would like to do. We can't go where we would like to go, all over the world. This is the case. And so, Holy Father God, my prayer still is, be thorough with us, break us, mold us, and make us, especially in the household of faith, for we have caused this problem. We have forsaken you. And in the words of Jonathan Kahn, we need to return to you. And if we don't, further judgment is coming. And as I've said from the beginning, as you have put in my heart to say from the beginning, we face the abyss. And so, Holy Father God, help people to realize this, so that they, in the church first and foremost, would repent of the evil and the entanglements with evil that they have done, that we have done. And Holy Father God, we pray that you would heal every Christian single person and every Christian marriage and family. Help us to pray together, to obey together, and stay together, and repent of the ungodliness and evil that has been done and that is being done. And Lord, we pray for the salvation of all people who do not name the name of Christ. Have your Holy Ghost to break their hard, stubborn wills, and help them to humble themselves down and help them to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Have your Holy Spirit not to give them rest until they come to know your Savior. We pray for laborers to be added to the whited harvest field, for we have failed you. And that's just the truth. As you know, Lord, we're not trying to sound sanctimonious. We have failed you in the church, for we have disobeyed your great commandment, and we have disobeyed your great commission. We don't love the people. We don't even love each other, for the love of many has waxed cold, and we have not obeyed your great commission to witness to them, proving our lack of love for them. So Lord, raise up others who will obey you and love the people and reach the whited harvest field before it is eternally too late. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to, you don't have to, please join me in praying the common prayer. You say, preacher, aren't you a Baptist preacher? You know, we don't pray those kinds of prayers. That's all right. I like it. I pray it because I like it. And I believe that you can pray any prayer. And if you mean what you pray and pray what you mean, God will hear your prayer. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have sinned and strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against thy holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done, and there is no peace and joy in us. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us, miserable offenders and sinners. Spare thou us, O God, who confess our sins, our faults, and our failures. Restore those of us who confess our sins and repent, according to thy promises declared unto us in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life, to the glory of thy holy name. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let's go to the family verses. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 33 is where we are today. A verse that deals with the husbands and the wives. And as you know, we are going through this passage with the help of Dr. John R. Rice, a great man of God and a straight shooter. Verse 33 reads, nevertheless, let every one of you, talking to husbands in particular, so love his wife even as himself. Bam! That is another commandment. That's a commandment. Then God shifts and speaks to the wife. The wife and the wife, see that she reverence her husband. The word reverence means respects, honors her husband. And Dr. John R. Rice said, if one reads this whose heart is heavy, whose home is unhappy, one whose dreams and plans concerning loved ones and home come toppling about your ears, then come back to God today and let Him fix your heart. After all, a happy home is a matter of religion, is a matter of faith in God and being right with God. Why not make confession to each other in the home? Why not tell the truth in the home? And by the way, my dear friends, if you can't tell the truth in the home, you can't tell the truth anywhere. If you are a liar in your family, you are a liar everywhere. And I believe with all of my heart that being a liar and being dishonest, not being transparent, has destroyed marriages and families, whether people stay together or not, more than anything else. Because nothing will create and build the intimacy that a marriage must have, like trust and trustworthiness, and like telling the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Husbands, one of the most loving things you'll ever do for your wife and for your children is to tell them the truth about themselves. Hear me when I tell you, nobody in the world, nobody else, is going to tell your wife and children the truth. Nobody. No Bo Peep, no Sylvia, no pastor, no pastor's wife, none of their friends, nobody, even their foes, won't tell them the truth. It is your job, husband and wife, to tell God the truth, because we do have some people who will lie to God and lie on God. And I fear for your souls, you people who can lie to God, try to hide something from God, there's something wrong somewhere. I doubt very seriously if you're born again, if you're thinking that way, that you can hide something from God and that you can lie to God and cover up stuff from God and then lie on God, putting God's name in your lies, affirming and swearing that God did not see you do something or saw you do something, and you know you're lying. I fear for your soul. There's something desperately wrong for you in your life. Nothing can turn on a marriage and intimacy like the truth and being with somebody who you know has told nothing but the truth, the whole truth, and all of the truth. And they are transparent. Therefore, they're already naked before you. You know everything about them. And people who are liars don't realize that they don't understand the principle that if you tell the truth, people love you more. If you tell the truth, people are turned on by you more. Nothing is more attractive to a woman deep down than a man who tells the truth. Yeah, there are women who love to hear lies, and these are sick women. They're not saved women. But deep down, a godly woman is attracted to a man who tells her the truth. And a man is attracted to a woman who tells the truth and who is honest, who is dependable. Somebody she can count on, somebody he can count on. You got something going on if you can tell each other the truth in the home. if you can share your weaknesses and your temptations with that somebody, and they in fact even love you more, that's, you got something. That's romantic right there. You want romance? Tell the truth. Be honest. You want intimacy? Tell the truth. Be honest. If you're a liar, you're acting like you're with a stranger. Okay? Confess your faults one to another. Husbands, if you're being tempted with a fine mamma jamma, tell your wife about it. She'll help you with it. You women who lie and say you've never been interested in another man, you've never been tempted with another man, or you never thought another man was cute or whatever, don't tell those lies. Be honest, be transparent, be real. In the words of Sister Lynn, it's got to be real. The emotions, it's got to be real. It's got to be real, man. Okay? So why not make confession to each other in the home? Start again with family altar. Begin against those old-fashioned practices of our forefathers. Begin again, rather, with those old-fashioned practices of our forefathers, which made their happy homes and happy hearts. Unsaved man, until you let Christ come into your heart, how can you have the kind of home that the Lord wants you to have? How can you command your children aright until, first of all, you love the Lord and serve Him yourself? Why not say with Joshua, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Trust Christ. And by the way, you husbands need to come to that point. You need to be like Joshua. Some of you are not there. You're weak. Your wife knows you're weak. Your children know that you're weak. Because you have not come to that point. You have not made it clear and plain that as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord up in here. Whether you're a type A man or a type B man or a type C man, you got to come to that point and make up your mind and let everybody know we're going to serve the Lord up in here. We're not going to allow the devil mint and the devil up in here. Up in here, up in here, in my house. That's right, sir. You're the king of that castle. Reclaim your throne. I don't care what pastor, I don't care what man, I don't care what woman told you otherwise. Even your mother wants you to be the king of your home. She doesn't want you to be king of her home, but she wants you to be the king of your house. Your mother wants that. She may be a feminist. She may not have allowed her husband to be the king of the house, but she wants you to be the king of your house. Now you can best believe that. She does not want a woman to rule over you like she even ruled over her husband. Don't bow your head yet. It's not time to pray. You know why? Because she knows it's not right, and she knows there's going to be a mess, and that woman's going to mess over your life and make you a very miserable puppy. Yes. Trust Christ, dear friend. For forgiveness today, call on God for strength to be a real man. Call on God, call on Jesus to become a real man and have the Holy Spirit to guide you in your duties in the home today. May God help you to have all of the joys of a happy home, the peace of a good conscience, and the favor of God, who hears your prayers because you please Him in these matters. These are the words of Dr. John R. Rice. We thank God for them. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let's pray. According to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 says, I exhort therefore that first of all, patience, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for things, or rather for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Holy Father God, we pray now for all of those who name the name of Jesus Christ, who claim to be your people. Help us to humble ourselves and to pray and to seek your face and to turn from our wicked ways and to repent and get back to you, our first love, in our families, in our churches, in our communities, in our government. And now, Lord, we pray for our president and his administration and his cabinet. We pray for his family as well. And Holy Father God, we pray for all governors, all mayors, all state senators, all state representatives. And Holy Father God, we pray for all police chiefs, all sheriffs, all city council people. And we thank you, Lord, for Minnesota City Council and the city of, I believe, Minneapolis, St. Paul. They're changing their mind about defunding the police. Lord, help them to truly repent of that and turn away from that foolishness. And Holy Father God, we pray, Lord, for all people in this country and the government leaders and the government leaders in all countries of the world. We pray, Lord, for the peace of Jerusalem. Prime Minister there, Prime Ministers in all other countries, Presidents, Potentates, and Premiers. And Lord God in heaven, we pray that you will bless all of these people with salvation, spiritual, family life, protection and provision, financial and material blessings as well. And we pray that you will take them by their wicked, stony hearts, and lead them and guide them and direct them in the way that you want them to go. And Holy Father God, we pray for the protection of Israel. We pray, Lord, for your protection, deliverance, and grace to all of the persecuted Christians in this country, in China, in Nigeria, and around the globe. And Holy Father God, protect them and lead them and guide them and direct them, that they may stand to witness another day, saying with Martin Luther, "Here I stand, I can do no other." And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the salvation of every lost soul in this country, around the globe, and in the media. Lord, have your Holy Ghost to rain down upon people and break their hard and stubborn hearts. Help them to hear the gospel, to understand it, and to be saved. Open their blinded eyes, unstop their deaf ears. And Lord, we know that this is a prayer you will answer, because you're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We pray, Holy Father God, for the revival of all people who believe in Christ. Lord, in this country, around the globe, and in the media as well. And Holy Father God, we pray for the healing of the sick of the coronavirus plague particularly, but all other diseases as well. If they be believers in Christ, help them to call for the elders of the church to pray with them and for them over the phone, but help them to confess their sins, to be honest about their adultery, their fornication, their homosexuality, their lies, their hypocrisy, and other so many other sins, swinging and everything else that's going on in the church today in your sight. And so, Lord, I know it's an ugly sight to you. It is even an ugly sight to people down here who are sinners themselves in your church. And so, Holy Father God, we pray that you'll break us, make us, and mold us to be what you'd have us to be, and help us to repent. And Lord, we pray for those who are lost, save them, and Lord, heal them. We pray now, Holy Father God, for the millions of people who are hurting and grieving and mourning over their loved ones who have been lost through the coronavirus plague. Lord Jesus Christ, like a powerful magnet, draw them to yourself for salvation and comfort. Draw them to your Holy Scriptures like a powerful magnet, and to your Holy Scriptures for comfort and salvation. We pray now for all of the people numbering in the millions who have lost loved ones. Some have lost multiple loved ones. A few have lost their whole families. Some children have lost their parents, and they have been left alone in the world. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would comfort these people as only you can. For we have no words. And we pray for a few by name. We pray for the family and friends of Texas veteran Willie Doria. We pray for the family and friends of Tennessee church organist Darius Settles. We pray for the family and friends of New York resident David Sackhoff. We pray for the family and friends of Arizona resident Marlene Sekwa-Tua. And we pray, Lord, for the family and friends of Idaho nurse Samantha Hickey. We pray for the family and friends of New York writer Gerald Williams. We pray for the family and friends of Florida medical assistant Samantha Diaz. We pray for the family and friends of Zimbabwe musician Cosmos Magaya. We pray for the family and friends, these blessings to fall upon them, of New York consultant Franz Newwindham. We pray for the family and friends of California actress Brandis Kemp. We commit all of these souls into your hands. Let your will be done in their lives and in ours. And Lord, comfort all of the people as only you can, and save their souls. We pray now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for all of the prayer requests that have come in. And Lord, we pray that you would hear and answer their prayers, hear and answer our prayers and their specific requests. And we pray for salvation also, spiritual, family, life, financial, material, food and housing, protection and provision, blessings upon them all. In addition to what they're asking for, we pray for a few by name. We pray for Umesh. Please bless the 85 pastors who are helping with the church planting ministry. Bless the social work for the needy children. Bless the pastor's seminar they are holding for 3 days with the funds and speakers it needs, and bless them with money who will sponsor and support and partner with them as well. We pray for Paul Lee. Please fill her and anoint her to do everything by your Holy Spirit's power, and use her to do your work and your will. We pray for Karen. Please reunite and save her family and protect them from the coronavirus plague. We pray for Eric. Please bless his community and help them stand in your truth. We pray for Augustus. Provide Aki Unga Child Care School with these supplies: study Bibles, Bible dictionaries, toys, pens and pencils, Christian living books as well. We pray for Penuel. Help him to reach 10,000 people with the gospel. We pray for Kazia. Help her to move beyond her first husband's death and give her a loving and responsible man to be her husband and to marry again according to your will. We commit these souls into your hands, these lives into your hands. Hear and answer their prayers and ours. And now, Lord, we pray for those who have gotten saved through the preaching of the gospel through this ministry, and those who have rededicated their life to you through the preaching of your gospel through this ministry and your holy word. Even though we don't give that kind of invitation, as we only give the salvation invitation, we thank you, Lord, for moving upon people's hearts in the way you see fit. We pray for MD, we pray for Sundara, and we pray for all of the others who have gotten saved and who have rededicated their lives to you as well. We pray for Jean, we pray for Kobe, we pray for Bora, we pray for G, we pray for Tammy, and we pray for those who have recommitted their lives to you, Moff, Tammy, Suleiman, Sylvester, Danette, Wayne, and Michaela. We commit these souls into your hands. Let your will be done in their lives and in ours. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, our devotional reading for today is titled Life is a Temporary Assignment, Part 6, from the Purpose Driven Life book by Dr. Rick Warren. It is a fatal mistake to assume that God's goal for your life is material prosperity or popular success as the world defines it. The abundant life has nothing to do with material abundance, and faithfulness to God does not guarantee success in a career or even in a ministry. Never focus on temporary crowns. Paul was faithful, yet he ended up in prison. John the Baptist was faithful, but he was beheaded. Millions of faithful people have been martyred, Christian believers, and they have lost everything or have come to the end of life with nothing to show for it. But the end of life is not the end. In God's eyes, the greatest heroes of the faith are not those who achieve prosperity, success, and power in this life, but those who treat this life as a temporary assignment and serve faithfully, expecting their promised reward in eternity. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise you and we thank you so much for this wonderful time together around your holy word, around prayer, and around the privilege of praying for others. And Holy Father God, help us to all remember that this is a temporary assignment and that you're watching us, and you will reward us accordingly or not reward us accordingly. Let your will be done in our lives. Help us all who name the name of Christ to humble ourselves and to repent. Help us to turn from our wicked ways. Help us to seek your face. Help us to pray. And help us to get back to you, Lord Jesus, our first love. Now, Holy Father God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, save those who are lost. Revive those who are saved. In Jesus Christ's name, we do pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you are with us today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in him for for your soul's salvation from sin and from that awful place called hell. First, dear friend, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law. The Holy Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Second, today, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. For the Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death all day long." The wages of sin is death, my dear friend. You're headed towards death because you are a sinner. We're all headed towards death because we are sinners. Is that not true? Have you ever lied before? Have you ever stolen anything before in your life, regardless of the value? You say, "Well, oh, I stole some candy from Annie's candy store one time." You're guilty before God. God has not forgotten that. You may have forgotten it, but God has not. Have you ever lusted after somebody in your heart? "Oh, I wish I had her." Have you ever lusted after things before? Coveted after things, wanting what other people have? Have you ever disobeyed your parents? Have you ever had a bad attitude towards your parents? Or you were rebellious towards your parents, dishonored your parents? Have you ever said a cross word about your parents, mumbled under your breath against your parents? Have you done anything like that before? You're a sinner before God Almighty. You're a criminal for breaking God's commandment. Have you ever dishonored God's name by taking His name in vain, lying on Him, saying things negative about God, using His name in vain? Thirdly, dear friend, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell because of your sin and because you have never believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Accept the fact that you're on the road to hell as I speak. You don't have to commit another sin. You've committed enough. Hell is a very real place. Hell is a place like New York City is a place. Hell is a place like Beijing, China is a place. Just because you haven't been there does not mean it does not exist. You need to believe the reports that it exists. And Jesus Christ reported on it and preached on it more than anybody in the Bible. He preached on it more than any preacher, any apostle, any prophet, any writer in the Bible. And Jesus Christ preached more on hell than He did about heaven. Hell is a very real place, and dear friend, that's where you're headed. That's where you're going. Nobody's trying to scare you. You say, "Preacher, I don't like the fact you try to scare me to believe in Jesus Christ by talking about hell." Where am I going to scare you to? Hell number one, hell number two, or hell number three? Hell is a very real place, dear friend. I'm here to tell you, if you die without Christ, that's where you're going. And to me, the saddest aspect of hell is that once you go there, you can't get out. It's over. There's no purgatory. There's no second chance. There's no limbo. There's no in-between. It is up or down, heaven or hell. Here are some other miseries of hell that Jesus Christ preached on one time. He said that hell is a place of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And I believe hell is going to be harder for people who try to hinder the gospel, claiming to be Christians. Hell is a place, Jesus said, where their worm dieth not, and the body is not, or rather the fire is not quenched. The fire is not quenched. Hell is a very real place, dear friend. Jesus Christ said, to show you his earnestness and seriousness about this matter called hell, he said in Matthew 18:8, wherefore if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cast them off, cut them off, and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. Hell is a very real place. Hell exists today. No doubt there are millions in hell, and that's where you're headed if you don't believe in Jesus Christ and repent. Hell is bad news, but I have some good news for you, found in the words that Jesus Christ spoke in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in your heart that he suffered, he bled, and he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day by the power of God for you and for me, so that you can live forever with him. All you have to do, dear friend, is pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul today, as you believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins. He paid your sin debt, was buried, and rose on the third day. For the Bible tells us in Romans 10:9-13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven, to be with God, to be with Jesus, to be with the angels, to be with God's people forever in peace, joy, and harmony beyond our wildest imaginations. If I were you, I wouldn't miss it for the world. So believe in Christ today and pray the sinner's prayer with me. Call on his name. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner. I admit that I have sinned against you. I have broken your Ten Commandments. Yes, Lord, I committed all of those sins that the preacher pointed out earlier, and I am guilty, and I deserve to go to hell just like a criminal deserves to go to jail. For Jesus Christ's sake, have mercy and grace upon my soul, and please forgive me of all of my sins, as I now believe with all of my heart in your Holy Son, Jesus Christ, who suffered and bled and died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose on the third day. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past, and help me to turn from my evil ways and evil life, and help me to follow you, Lord Jesus Christ, in the new life. For it is in Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me and meant it from your heart, believing in your heart that Jesus Christ died for you, was buried, and rose on the third day, allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ Jesus, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my book titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ today as your Lord and Savior, please email us and let us know at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know what Jesus has done for you. We have some free material that we want to send you to help you grow in the faith and be the Christian that God wants you to be. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good, is my prayer.